Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It's one of them little bitty books. Zechariah 4, verse 6. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Glory to God. But notice he said, Not by might, nor by spirit power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I think that when he's saying not by might, he's talking about our might. Not by our strength. Not by our might, but by the Spirit of God. And then he said, Grace, speak unto the mountain and say, Grace, grace unto it. How many knows the Bible said that we're saved by grace? And not of works, lest any man should boast. And one of the things, the Lord woke me up the other morning, and a lot of times when I first wake up in the morning, it's like the Lord kind of gets me on a message or gets me on a thought first thing as soon as I wake up. And so when I woke up, the first thing the Lord started dealing with me about was the difference between our natural life and His life. That when we live by faith and grace, by the grace of God, we draw what we need from God into our life to live a Christian life. But if we're doing it by our own might, if we're trying to serve God just with our own willpower, just with our own ability or a natural ability, you're going to run out of energy. You're going to run out, and not only that, but you're not blessed. You know, you won't be blessed. You won't have the blessing of God upon your life serving God by your own ability. If you're trying to serve God, even though it might be a noble thing, you might try to do the right thing. You might try to be good. You might try to do all these things in your own strength. But if we end up serving God by our strength and our own might, without the Spirit of God, then we're not going to have the grace of God. We're not going to have the favor of God. We're not going to have the... See, grace means God's ability to do what you can't do. Grace gives you a ability to do what you can't do. It gives you the ability to forgive when you can't forgive. It gives you the ability to love the unlovable. It gives you the ability to forgive somebody that's done you wrong. But in the natural, the old man wants people to pay. You want to make people pay for what they did to you. Flesh wants people, you know, to judge. See, and sometimes you can tell what life is working through us by the characteristics that it has in our life. What kind of characteristics does the life have? We know, we've seen Jesus, we've read in the Word of God that Jesus is love. God is love. God is merciful. God is kind to the unlovely. He treats everybody good. He makes the rain to come on the just and on the unjust. But then on the other hand, when you see people that are religious, but they're mean-spirited, judgmental, look their noses down at people that they think's not as good as they are, And that's not the right nature. That's a wrong spirit. That's a religious spirit. And a religious spirit is a spirit that's trying, it's a spirit that tries to make people act like Jesus without Jesus. And so we have to realize that there's a greater power that's available to us as His children, but we've got to tap into it. And the Bible said we're saved by grace. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read this. In verse 1 it says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." In verse 8 says, "For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Look at this. "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Glory to God. But notice He said, not of works, lest any man should boast. And just about everyone that I've ever known that's become a Christian, you kind of go through stages sometimes. When you first get saved, you're just happy because you realize that you're forgiven of your sins, and you're just, you received it. You know you didn't earn it, but you've been born again. You experience God. And then as time goes on, you start thinking that you've got to earn it more. So you start trying to, be a better Christian. But the problem is sometimes we start thinking that we're earning our righteousness. We start trying to think that the more I work for God, then He owes it to me. And then you go through a stage when you finally realize that that kind of thinking is wrong. And you realize that that's the wrong kind of way to think. And so then you realize that you're saved by grace through faith. But sometimes people, the devil always tries to take you back to what's going to make you weak spiritually. And the devil knows that if you are depending upon God, if you're living by faith in God, that you're going to draw what you need into your life by faith. And so he's going to try to get you out of faith. He's going to try to get you into works. He's going to try to get you into living by the law and trying to earn your righteousness. Because, it don't matter how good you are, you can't be good enough to make it into heaven in your own good works. And, of course, we're supposed to do good works. But on the other hand, you can't be doing evil works and saying, "I'm saved by grace." You can't be, because if you're living by faith and you're led by the Spirit of God, He's not going to lead you to go out and do evil things and do bad stuff and say, "Well, I'm still okay because I'm saved by grace." That's going off of this. There's a right side of the road and a left side of the road. You can get in a ditch on either side. God wants us in the middle of the road. He wants us living by faith and serving God. And so I went through some of these stages myself. But then, even after you get older, if you're not careful, you'll start drifting back into that kind of thinking again, to where that you're not drawing it by faith, you try to earn it. And so tonight, that's what I'm talking about. I want you to look with me to James chapter 1. In verse 12. Well, let's go up here first to chapter 1 and verse 2. And did you know that God has things happen in our life sometimes to let us discern what life we're yielding to? Trials and temptations and things you go through in life will reveal to you where you're standing or where you're walking. The Bible said the day shall declare it. Of what works, if your works are burned up, if the fire comes and burns your works up, you know, then that means it was just fleshly works. But if the fire comes and your works don't burn, that means it was from God. But it said the day shall declare it. In other words, when you're serving God, you're going to go through tests and trials. It's going to reveal where you're standing at. And so in James chapter 1, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." In verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death." Glory to God. But notice up here when he said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." But notice it said, "when he is tried." You know, people think that, well, when I'm going get to heaven one day, I'm going to get a crown. But here he said that when you endure the trial, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life." When you go through a trial and you're being tested and you yield to that trial, you go through that trial God's way. You go through that trial and you draw on the nature of God. You draw on the grace of God, the mercy of God. There's a little bit more of God put into your life. It's like God puts a crown upon you. The crown of life is the nature of God. It's the character of God. The more of God is in our life, the more of the crown of life is going to be upon us. But each time you go through a trial, you know, many times I'd be praying and I say, "Lord, I want to go deeper in you, Lord. I want to walk in closer to you, Father." And the next thing I know, I'm going through the worst trial of my life. And I'm saying, what in the world's going on? I was wanting to get deeper in God, not go to hell, you know. But the thing of it was, right in the middle of that, I start crying out to God, and I start drawing on His mercy and His grace. And then when I come out on the other side, I'm better than I was when I went in. And I have more authority, I have more power, because I have the crown of life was put upon me because I endured the trial. I didn't yield to the sin. I yield to the Spirit of God. Because, see, when you're being tested, it's like you've got a choice. You can either choose the Spirit or the flesh. And He said, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." And I was thinking about, you know, when somebody makes you mad, when somebody or hurts your feelings or whatever, you're going through that test. You know, how you respond to that tells you if you're yielding to it in the flesh or if you're yielding to it in the Spirit. Because, see, if you yield to something, the Bible says, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season." You know, a lot of times when something makes us mad, it makes us mad at whatever made us mad. You know, it's like, if that thing hadn't been in my life right there, I wouldn't be like this. You know, no, that thing was in our life to let us see that we were in the flesh. See, if I wasn't in the flesh, that thing wouldn't have bothered me so bad. You know, it's like God puts sandpaper in our life sometimes to rub it the wrong way to let us realize that we're we're not completely yielding to Him, His life. It's like when little Johnny, when he had the cat, and he was petting the cat, and he was rubbing its hair backwards, and the cat started hollering and screaming, and his mother come over and said, "Johnny, quit rubbing that cat the wrong way." And Johnny said, "Well, Mama, all he's got to do is turn around, and I'll be rubbing the right way." And see, sometimes that's the way it is in our life. Sometimes things are rubbing us the wrong way, and all we got to do is just turn around, and we'd be rubbing the right way. It won't be rubbing us so bad. But this is the point. We need grace when you go through a trial. And just think about this. What if the trial come in your life to get you to draw upon more of grace in your life, more of God in your life? What if that trial you're going through, what if whatever it is in your life, what if that's there to get you to draw on God more than you ever have before? Because did you know that each time you go through a trial, you can draw a little bit more of God into your life? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fiery trial of their life, I mean, they were facing death in the fire, 7 times hotter than it had ever been before. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they humbled themselves unto God. They said, "You know, be it known unto you, O King, we're not going to bow down before you. And if, you know, whatever you got to do, if you're going to throw us in the fire, throw us in the fire. But if not, you know, we're not bowing." And they threw them in the fire. But when they were through in the fire, they were trusting God. See, they were drawing on the grace of God when they got thrown in that fiery furnace. And you know what happened when they got thrown in that fire? The Jesus showed up in the fire with them. And see, when you go through a trial and you stay in a right spirit and you draw upon the Spirit of God, you draw upon the grace of God, Jesus will show up in that trial with you. Hallelujah. And then when you come out of that trial, He said, "Come out of there, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God." And they came out of the fire, and the Bible said they were promoted in the kingdom. So every time you go through a fiery trial and you go through it the right way, when you come out on the other side, you're going to get promoted in the kingdom. You know, it'll take you to the next level. And I've preached many messages about this, that when you're wanting to go to the next level in God, there's always going to be a test. You're always going to go through some type of test. You know, when you're in school and you're going to go to the next grade, you have to have a test. The children of Israel, they were in the wilderness and they were tested in the wilderness, but they failed the test. Because why did they fail the test? Because they yielded to the flesh. They yielded to their lusts and desires instead of yielding to faith in God and trusting God that God was going to take them on into the promised land. They looked to their flesh and said there was the delicious fish and stuff was in Egypt. They're out here. We don't have nothing to eat. You know, their fleshly desires was ruling over them. But because of it, it caused them not to get to go into the promised land. They died in the wilderness. And so, many times things comes our way that, you know, sometimes, you know, most of the time when you're in a trial, especially a bad trial, sometimes it's easy to forget about God. It's easy to think about your pain, your sorrow, your hurt, what you're going through, and to get your eyes on those things rather than saying, you know, "Lord, you know where I'm at, and I'm not going to get bitter, I'm not going to be angry." Look with me in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. I think it's verse 27. Yeah, 27. He said, "But I say unto you, hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you." Now see, this is diametrically opposed to the flesh life. The flesh life, you know what happens when you try to do what do this in the flesh? You look fake. "Oh, I love you. I love you." You know, it's like, Or you say, oh, I love you, and they look at you, you liar, I tell you, you don't love me. But see, whenever it's the Spirit working through you, you can love your enemies. And it won't be fake, it'll be real. But then he said, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto them that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And on him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what think have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think have you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. You know, a lot of times we quote this scripture talking about money, and it applies there too. But in this context right here, it's actually telling us that he said, judge not, lest you be judged. Give mercy, and you receive mercy. What he's saying is, when you show mercy, when you're given mercy, it's going to be multiplied back to you. When you show forgiveness, it's going to be multiplied back to you again. When you forgive, it's going to be multiplied. Because did you know that the word judge here, it's actually a word that means to judge somebody, to declare them guilty, and to pass sentence on them. Did you know that a lot of times if you judge somebody, you may not realize it, but you may pass sentence on them. You know, it's like, well, I can tell you're a wicked person, so, you know, I'm not going to have nothing to do with you. I'm going to judge you, and then I'm going to sentence you to a banishment from me. I ain't going to have nothing to do with you. I'm going to judge you. See, we can't judge somebody, because the very person you judge might be somebody God's going to turn around and use them in a mighty way. Right. You know, you might think, you know, because we can't ever think we're better than somebody else is. And so, but this is what he was saying. He was saying, if you have mercy, he said, every how you measure, every what kind of cup you measure out with is how it's going to be measured to you again. And I remember years ago, I had a guy that stayed at my house, and this guy had a lying spirit on him. I mean, he lied every time he opened his mouth, he was telling you a lie. And I just got fed up with it. I was tired of it. And I was praying, and I was talking to the Lord about this guy. And when I did, I said, Lord, this man is a liar. He's lying to me, Lord. I got to deal with this man. I got to deal with him. He's lying to me. And the Lord said, you lie to me. I said, what? He said, you tell me you're going to fast more? You're going to pray more? You're going to show more? You say you're going to do all this stuff, but you don't do it. So you lie to me. And he said, Ever how you judge him is how you're going to be judged. I said, Lord, I'm going to give this man mercy. He's going to get mercy today. Because he said, judge not lest you be judged. And he said, ever how you judge, it's going to be multiplied. Ever how you dish stuff out is how it's going to be dished back to you again. And it's the same thing with money. Like if you sow something, it comes back to you in proportion to how you sow. Every what you sow, that's what you're going to reap. But anyways, so I started seeing this, that sometimes I think God is wanting to increase in our life because He's wanting us to sow things in the kingdom of God so it can be multiplied back to, I mean, so we can sow in somebody's life by showing mercy. Show mercy to somebody. Show grace to somebody. You know, when you show grace to somebody, I couldn't tell you how many times in my lifetime since I've gotten saved that there would be situations where somebody would come into my life and looking at it in the natural, it looked like that I didn't want to have nothing to do with this person or persons. But yet, the love of God on the inside of me would just well up inside of me sometimes, and I'd just start feeling love for somebody and then I'd start talking to them. And I remember one time I was driving down the road and I seen this guy hitchhiking. And I was bad about picking hitchhikers up. I'd even bring them home with me sometimes. And so I picked this hitchhiker up and he got in the car with me. As soon as he got in the car with me, the Spirit of God came on me and I started weeping. And I wasn't that kind of person, you know, that start weeping just because somebody got in the car. He got in the car and I started weeping. And I looked at him and I started telling him, you know, that I started witnessing to him as soon as he got in the car. And within a minute or two, he was crying. And he rededicated his life to God. And he became a part of my life. He started coming and staying at my house. Every time he would come through this area, he would come and go to church with me. But he gotten saved. But come to find out, he was raised in church and had miracles in his life. And his mother had miracles in her life and all this stuff. But to look at him, he just looked like a drug addict or something walking down the side of the road, you know, like somebody you're scared to pick up. He might be a serial killer or something, you know. But the thing of it was, you know, you can't look at somebody in the natural. You have to let the Spirit of God, because you never know when it's somebody, God's going to give you a word and show them. And another time, me and another guy was riding home, and there was a guy walking down the side of the road, and this guy that was with me, he was in a different denominational church. And so it started raining, and I saw this guy standing there on the side of the road, and I just whipped off the road. And when I did, this guy, he started having a fit on me. "What are you doing? You can't pick this guy up." He said, "Are you crazy?" And I just didn't say nothing. I just pulled up to the guy, and the guy opened the door and threw his bag in the car and got in the car. We started going down the road, and I started praying, and I said, "Lord, do I need to witness to this guy? Because this man in the car with me here is going to give me a hard time no matter what I do, you know, so I just want to do what you tell me to." And so he said, ask that man who picks him up the most, Christians or non-Christians. And so I said, "Who picks you up the most, Christians or non-Christians?" But before this, the Lord told me this. I forgot, this was my part of the story. He said, "Tell that man that somebody picked him up last night that made a tremendous impression upon him." He said, and so I didn't know how to say it because I didn't want this guy in the front to think I was, you know, tell him something and it not be right. And then he would sit there and slap me upside the head with it, you know. And so I said, "Who picks you up the most, Christians or non-Christians?" He said, "It's funny you should say that. Just last night, a man picked me up. And he said, this man made the greatest impression upon my life. He said, I never met a man like this in my life. He said, he was the greatest Christian I ever known." And I said, "You wouldn't believe this, but the Lord just told me that before you said that." And I said, "God's after you." And I said, "He's trying to get you." And the man, he was really under deep conviction when we got up there to drop him off. But he didn't rededicate his life to the Lord. But the point of it was that sometimes you have to do what other people don't think you should do. You know, you got to do what you feel like is the right thing to do because God can use you to touch somebody's life. But see, the thing of it is, if we judge people by the way they look, we can miss God sometimes, I mean, in a big way. But the thing of it is, if we want more of God's grace in our life, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And grace is also favor. It's God's favor. God gives us favor. The more of His grace comes in our life, the more of His favor comes in our life. But you know, God, the Bible says God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. If you want God to resist you, be prideful. Be hard. Be prideful, and God will resist you. But if you want God to bless you, if you want God to give grace in your life, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Don't, you know, the Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, when you submit yourself to God, God covers you with His grace and His favor. Then when you resist the devil, you got power to resist him. But see, if you don't submit yourself to God first, you're going to have a problem resisting the devil. Glory to God. How many loves the Lord tonight? I was praying today, and this was something that came to me. What if the degree of the grace of God you needed in your life was the degree it would take to forgive an unfaithful wife? What if we coming up short of the grace of God because we limit how much we receive because we are unwilling to forgive someone who has done us wrong? What if a trial or something in your life that you are having a hard time forgiving, that God's wanting that degree of grace in your life, and it's not going to get there until you forgive or until you've released someone that's in your life or somebody that's hurt you or somebody that's done you wrong? And it causes the grace of God to come because you chose to forgive. Because I've seen some people that, you know, I've got a close family member that's going through some trials right now. And I was thinking about him. And I was thinking about how he can't forgive. He can't turn loose. And you know what? God can't get to him right now. Because he's hard. And he thinks he can't forgive. He thinks he can't turn loose of it. But see, when you are willing to forgive, then the grace of God can bring you to a new level. How many would like to come to a higher level of grace in your life? Well, I want to tell you something. It's not going to come to you if you're prideful, arrogant, and want to look good to everybody, and you know you want everybody to speak well of you. It's going to be hard to get there. You're going to have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You're going to have to be willing to forgive. You're going to have to be willing to be made fun of or whatever, because you're not always going to look like the hero when you're doing the will of God. You know, you've got to humble yourself. And sometimes it's hard to humble yourself to people that's prideful and mean and hateful. You know, you want to get back at them. You don't want nobody to, you know, get anything over on you. So you all try to get them back when they do. You say, well, I can't let people just run all over me. I gotta tell them off, you know. And you know what happens? You limit God. You limit God. The minute that you decide, remember, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. Jesus Himself, when He was smote, He was beaten. And you know what? He never fought back. He never tried to respond and say, God's going to get you. And so, there's something happens in our life whenever we have an humble spirit before God. If you have a broken and humble spirit before God, and you submit yourself to God, it gives the favor of God will come in your life, and it will take you to places that you can't ever go in your own self. But if you try to do it in your own ability, you're just going to come up short. Devils aren't afraid of your religion. They're afraid of Jesus in you. And, you know, the biggest thing that we can do is walk in the love of God. If you let the love of God rule your thoughts and rule every decision you make, everything you do, that you do it out of the love of God, you know, you're going to make the right decisions. And you just have to look at the character. Look at the which character is coming through in your life. Is it the old man or is it the new man? Is it forgiving? Is it showing love? Is it showing kindness? Or is it just being judgmental and hard and cruel? You know, it's easy. Sometimes it's not hard to tell which one's which. But the we must not live by law, but live by faith. Live by faith and not by law. You know, when I first started preaching, I was preaching in some churches, you know, and people that were old-time holiness type churches, and they thought that you got closer to God by more rules and regulations that you had. If you had the more rules, you know, women can't wear makeup, they can't wear pants, can't do this, can't do that, and everything, they were just so much rules and regulations, and I never preached like that. I just preached the love of God and faith and trust in God and casting out devils and stuff like that. And they would get mad at me sometimes because I didn't preach what they was wanting me to preach. And I told them one day, I said, you know what? If I wanted to, I could make everybody in this building go out of this building crying. You know, I could preach so hard. I could preach and make everybody in here feel guilty. I said, but you know what? That's not what God told me to preach. You can't just, you know, they think, oh, you need to preach on hell, not unless Jesus tells you to. You know, some people think that the more you can make people feel guilty, the better you're preaching. But that's not true. You know, it's, you got to preach what Jesus says to preach. And so, but the thing of it was, see, they had a wrong concept of righteousness. They thought that the more rules that you kept, the more righteous you were. But that's not true. And so I just want to encourage you tonight, we need more of the grace of God. The Bible says, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But he said, come boldly to the throne. And see, we can go boldly to God, and he said he will give us grace and mercy. You know, most of you have heard me tell the story, but I just want to tell this because this is what it's right in line with what I'm saying. That, you know, when I was working with some guys in Birmingham, and I always took up for myself. And these guys, every day, they just rode my back continually, just hounding me because I was a preacher, you know, and it was like every day, it was just all the time, just one joke after another, all day long. I mean, it was, God was giving me mercy and grace. And so one morning I was going to work and God just spoke to me. And I was reading the scripture and it said, agree with your adversaries quickly and lest they take you before the courts or whatever. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to agree with these guys today when they start attacking you. He said, I just want you to agree with them. And I said, but Lord, they ain't telling the truth. But he said, I just want you to agree with them. So I got to work. As soon as we got there, I mean, at 6 o'clock in the morning, they started in on me right off the bat. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. And they just looked at me. Then we went on and they said, yeah, you're a preacher. You just do this, this, this. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. And they just look at me. And then all day long, every time somebody would say something, I'd say, yeah, you're probably right. And I promise you, when it got lunchtime, I was sitting there. See, I humbled myself because my flesh kept wanting to pop something off back and say, God's going to get y'all if y'all don't shut up, you know. But I didn't. But then when it come lunchtime, these guys, about 10 guys sitting in a circle there, was eating lunch, and all at once, one of them says, you know, Brad's a pretty good old guy. And then another one over here says, yeah, he's a pretty good old preacher. And then another one over here starts saying something. Everybody in that whole circle was sitting there bragging on me for about 30 minutes. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what is going on here? This is crazy. I mean, I'm the blunt of the joke every day at lunchtime, you know, for forever. And then I started realizing something. I thought, well, maybe I had too much pride. Maybe I had too much pride, and because of me fighting back all the time, it just made them want to attack me more. And then when they seen that I just humbled myself, then the grace of God, they saw the grace of God on me, and then they started bragging on me. And so, you know, and it was true. I think I did have a lot of pride, even as a Christian. And so, but my point was that when I done what God told me to do, it worked. I humbled myself, and I just bit the bullet, and I just let them tell me whatever they wanted to say. And it made impression on those guys. And so, be willing to be made a fool of. Be willing to be laughed at. Be willing to, especially if you're doing it in the right spirit in your heart, and you know that you ain't got no malice in your heart toward anybody, and you just let it happen. You know what'll happen? You'll get more grace. You'll get more grace. But believe God that when you, whatever you're going through, this is another thing I want to close with this. Whatever trial or test that you're going through, God knows where you're at today. And if you will begin to call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I know that you know where I'm at, and I know that you have grace for this situation here. And Lord, I just want to respond in it the right way. And then do whatever the Word of God says in that situation. Just show the love of God, forgive whatever it is, whatever trial it is. If it's trusting God, just trust God. And because your trial is going to declare the day. The trials we go through is going to declare to us where we're at. And so we must humble ourselves to God in our trials and in our tests. And you will see God exalt you and lift you up. And when you go through that trial, you'll come out more like Jesus on the other side. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads tonight.